Yeah. Only, but to receive. James says, be not hearers only, but pick up things that you can do for your life, for your ministry, and for the glory of God. Amen? I truly enjoyed coming to this camp. I almost didn't make it to camp. Tomorrow morning, I'll share with you a testimony. I almost didn't make it to camp. But I am sure the destiny of me being here with you was destined and penciled by God in heaven. It was spent long before you organized this camp. And I trust we leave this camp richer than when we came, more blessed than we came, and more excited to walk the faith. Amen? God is good. We're going to continue on this. This morning, I want to do on this. I'm a one slider. I don't do too many slides. Next one is God's presence follows obedience. Listen, His presence follows obedience. Obedience doesn't follow His presence. Can I bring and emphasize? His presence follows us because of our obedience to Him. Amen? It is this what I want to major on this. And it says this in Matthew, I am with you always. It's a full stop. I am with you always. Therefore, I will always be with you. Are you obedient to follow? Amen? The question that begets now is, are you obedient? God is obedient to follow. He said, I'll follow you. I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake. I have made a covenant to be with you. Are you obedient? Will you be obedient on your part? Amen? It's easy to talk obedience, you know. But I'll go along. I want to bring about that obedience is required because we are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't like people say, Pastor Miso, can you help us do a church program to reach out to church members? I don't like church members. Can I tell you that? My first focus is not church members. It's members of the kingdom of God. I am a kingdom worker. My boss is a king. I do kingdom ministry. The thing I argue on this premise is this. Many times you bring people to church. You bring. But they don't fit the church. They don't like the church. They don't like you. They don't like the pastor and they leave. And then you feel disappointed. No, I bring them to Christ. Let Christ lead them to the church. I bring to Christ. I work the streets. I work on the streets. When I meet a drug addict and I know someone, I just refer him to the closest church. I don't go and say, for this. No, I am not a church bounty hunter. Let me tell you that, huh? I refer to anyone. Go to the church and you find your fellowship with the pastors. Because my purpose is kingdom building. I'm a kingdom maker. Kingdom builder. My boss is my king. And if we work with that concept, we don't poach church members. You know, sometimes as a pastor, people don't invite you to certain church because they're frightened. One day a pastor told me, and I like that man, he's so honest, he said, Pastor Miso, I'm afraid to invite you to speak at my church. I said, why? He said, Lord, my people love you, you know. And I said, then I'm the most lovable guy. But he said, I'm afraid. Listen, he said this with his own mouth. He said, I'm afraid many will follow you. And I said, brother, you are not walking with God. You're afraid of me? I'm afraid of myself. So my heart has always been kingdom, friend. Kingdom. I work for my boss is big one, eh? Very good boss. The rewards, no salary now, but bonus coming when you go there. My superannuation is super duper. This morning I want to major on this term. I am with you. It's a lesson of obedience. that brings assurance. How many of us like that word obedience? Huh? Sometimes we feel obedience is very overpowering. Huh? Obey this, must obey that. Why cannot just live life without obeying? And people say Christianity is so much of obey, obey, obey. No, that's a lie. There's no such thing as obey, obey. Actually, Christianity gives you the prerogative, the choice. If you love me, you follow me. If your heart is touched, you tied. You don't have to. But if your heart is moved, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. You give. The Pharisees put a lot of orders on us. But this morning, I want to find out, what do we understand by obedience? There are a few things, lessons on obedience that I want to take time. Number one, obedience is an act of love. Obedience is an act of love. If you love me, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If, look at it, he put it, he didn't say, you must love me. But he said, if you love me, keep my commandment. Do you love God this morning? Then you shouldn't find it difficult to obey him. He said, if you love me. Obedience is not about rules, friend. It's about relationship. It's not about rules. You can follow rules, yet you don't love it. Amen? You can follow the rules of the church, but you don't like Pastor Kenny. Then why do you come to church? You want to come to church? Rules is an expression of my love to this church. Rules is an act of love. I love you, Lord. I'll do what you ask me. It's an act of love that Jesus, it says it's a willingness. Not only is an act, it must have a willing heart. I will do. You know, they said, God is not looking for people who are expert in doing things. He's looking for people who got a willing heart to learn. Learn. I want to learn, Lord, because I love you. I love you, Lord. I want to do for you, Lord. He says that love alone flows from relationship, not from obligation. Think about it. Love flows out of a heart of relationship, not out of a heart of obligation. You're not obliged, but you love. Think about it, huh? Love. The whole Christian faith is built on love. The amazing love of God, who yet we were sinners would come and die and say, I love you. What a powerful relationship. I love you. So don't do things out of obligation. Do out of love. Even in church, if you serve, serve out of love. Not obligations. If you do out of obligation, you kill the relationship part of it. It's just in marriage. It's about love. Not because I'm your husband or you're my wife, you must do. It's not about that. It's about love. Amen? So number one, obedience is an act of love. Number two, in Deuteronomy 28:1-2, write this verse down. He says, if you fully obey the Lord your God, all these blessings will come on you. If you fully, listen, fully obey, not half-half, huh? He said, all. Obedience, therefore, brings blessings. The overflow of obedience is blessings. You know, sometimes as parents, if you got a kid and the kid is good to you, you bless him more. Eh? It's natural. Amen? Come on. And sometimes we are good to God. God bless us. It's not out of obligation, out of love. Obedience brings blessing. Don't pray for blessings if you're not willing to be obedient. Amen? He won't bless you. It is your obedient heart that allows blessings to flow into you. obedience, blessing. God's blessings often is released through the heart of obedience. Obedience. Somebody said obedience opens the valve of heaven's blessings to flow in. Pop, it pops it, and the blessing flows in. So some of us are masters in crafts, sir. And so we try to be, when we want something only, we be obedient to God. Huh? Lord, I need that blessing, so I be good. No, it has to be a consistent, constant walk of obedience. Not up, down. Down, up, down, up. But there must be a constant obedience so that blessings may flow. So it is not, if you look at it, it's not a difficult thing that God put in us. Huh? You don't have to do so many. Just be obedient. They say, God is not looking for the art of obedience. He's looking for the heart of obedience. You can master the art, but master your heart first. The heart of obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You can do all the rituals and no blessings will come. Because ritualistic acts is not what God wants. He wants an act of relationship. Amen? Obedience. Obedience is what He wants to see come from our lives. And then He gives you blessings. Number three, Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6. I think it's a common verse we all should understand. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. It talks of an element called obedience requires trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Trust. Trust God. Not in the US, in God we trust. The green dollar not worth now. Take it to the flushing system. In God we trust. Do you trust in God? To really say, Lord, I trust you. Things may not be right, Lord, but my trust is in you. You know, the test of trust is when we lose everything and still trust God for it. It's not when you got everything. That's easy to trust God. It's when you lost everything, yet you have not lost your trust in God. Trust. Obedience requires trust. You cannot obey God without trusting Him. The moment that trust is breached, your relationship is broken with God. It's just like a marriage. Once trust breaks down, that marriage is working towards a breakdown. Trust. Today, people don't trust. You know, there's not much of trust around. People say yes. They can say 1,000 words and tomorrow just forget everything they said. They can make promises and break promises. There's no guilt, no shame, no pain. But obedience requires trust. You got to trust God. Well, He's the God that wants you to know He loves you. Even when His instructions don't make sense, just trust Him. How many of you, when you go up in a train or in an aeroplane, you ask the pilot, show me your credentials. Let me see your license updated or not. I'm going to fly with you, what? But you go in with trust. And sometimes we're so cocky we think we will go there. Like God got no choice but to bring me there. You know what we are saying? We trust you. We put our lives in your hand. How about God? He is the creator of your life. By the power of His word, you came. Would you trust Him? Would you really trust Him? I trust you with my family, Lord. Trust you with my career, my future. Today, our trust is conditional. God is talking of unconditional trust, which is a hard one. I tell you, as a Christian, we need to develop and cultivate and nurture in our heart trust in God. It's not an overnight thing. Let me assure you. It's not an overnight thing. It's a thing that really requires constant effort, constant work, building on the trust with God. I try daily voicing. You know, there's power in words. Do you know everything that came about in earth was by the voice of God? He spoke water, water came. Everything came from the power of a voice. You have a voice, and in that voice there is power. Speak into the volumes of vacuums in this world. Speak life into it. Because your voice carries the authority. And so speak this way, Lord. I want to trust you, Lord. Don't use your mind. You know, sometimes we talk to God by mind only. Why not talk by voice? Your voice, the volume of your voice carries volumes of authority that God has put in it. By His voice, creation came to being. And He gave us that voice. He said, you speak to the animals, you speak to them. The voice. So constantly talk to God. Say, Lord, I trust you. Use your voice. Exercise your voice of trust, all right? Because God wants us to know that you trust Him not only in your mind, in your heart, but you vocally express, I trust you, Lord. In God we trust. Amen. Next one. 1 Samuel 15:22. Just now I said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Today it's easier to do sacrifice than to be obedient. Isn't that true? Those of us who are wealthy, no problem tithing. Those of us who are not wealthy, an act of sacrifice kicks in. Like the lady who gave her last coins before Jesus. That was an act of sacrifice from an obedient heart. Today, the abundance of life and the affluence of life has made us so comfortable. There's no element of sacrifice anymore. There's no element of sacrifice. It's easy. Come to church, a bit too cold, we say can't come cold. Too hot, a bit too hot. Traffic jam, heavy traffic, can't come to church. Come to church, no car park, don't want to come in already anymore. All the minor blockages come up, and that becomes a stumbling block because there's no more heart of sacrifice. No heart of sacrifice. Not a bit of sacrifice is in our hearts anymore for God. Yet He sacrificed it all to buy you and me. Think about it. We are blessed beyond measure. Do you know that today? Christians, we are blessed. The world look at us, we are blessed. Yet, we are never satisfied. And because of that lack of satisfaction, we don't sacrifice anything for God. It's about me. I, me, and myself, the unholy Trinity. You know that? Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, Holy Trinity. I, me, and myself, the unholy Trinity. There is a bit of sacrifice. Church, learn to sacrifice. Learn to exercise that heart of sacrifice. You know, I came to Australia on a ticket. At that time, when I came to Australia, heroin was rampaging the nation. High incidences. I'm one of the three in all of Australia that is clinically trained and proven to be able to work with this cohort of people. And I was given a chance to come to Australia. And I took that chance. Even though I was not prepared, I took. When I came in here, all things fell apart. the establishment that was to cover me became the most crooked establishment on planet Earth. I exposed their crookedness. I exposed their faults. I exposed their whatever they were doing. And my wife and three little kids, below 10, were in a drug center. No more covering, no more financial support. My wife would go around looking for coins to buy milk for the kids. She's here, you talk to her. Because I was not willing to do dodgy deals. Get to know me, friend. I will not be willing to do any dodgy deal so that I can get comfort in life. I threw away that. And for months, we didn't have fine. Even when she went to shopping, she couldn't buy for the kids. And you know, in our dire moments, so desperate, no one here, no family. The Christian covering had failed us so badly. I was on the verge of taking the whole lot to court, but the Lord stopped me and said, take not mine to court. I will deal for you. For months, suffered. And I asked, and in fact, my wife said, let's go back. Go back. But I remember the Lord says, tarry. You know this word, tarry? He said, tarry. There's pain in the night, but joy will come in the morning. Just tarry. For months, we tarried. Really desperate. I tell you honestly, with no shame, not even a dime to eat in the morning lunch. What to do? In a land far, far from my home, Singapore, I dare not call my family because some of them are not Christian. They say, why did you go? Your God is a failure. I protected my God's name by suffering and taking that sacrifice and just live as per normal, go to church on Sunday. But every Sunday I went to church, God would raise up someone. Pastor, this is a Pentecostal handshake. Pastor, this. And we kept going. Until came to a time, actually we said, Lord, boleh tahan lah. Cannot anymore. Really cannot, Lord. My kids are asking, Daddy, I need this. Why are we not going to school? Why are we? The test was a test of obedience, right? But when the dawning of that new day came, we saw the joy, we saw the fullness that we are here till today, 30 years, friend. We came true. And I tell you, that moments till today bring shivers to my hand. But those moments made us who we are today. Amen? Sometimes sacrifice is a muscle, spiritual muscle building moment in your life. Until one day, Premier John Howard, he's a very nice man, huh? Found out what I was going to do and he said, come. And I didn't want to tell the story. People asked me to put in the newspaper. The newspaper called. I don't want. If you know me, I'm not. I alone am a publicity man. No need other people's publicity. And I don't like publicity. But you know, we went through. And then when we look back, one thing I can stand up and say confidently, my God never left us. We were on the verge of leaving, but he dug in his feet and said, I'll be here for you. Sacrifice, church. You know, you want to see your church grow? Unless a seed falls and die, the element of sacrifice, no life comes up. Sometimes we got to die to ourselves. We are all egoistic people. Come on, let's be honest. I, me, and myself, the good-looking dude. When I look at the mirror, I say, Lord, thank God for this creation you made. If not for me, what would this world be like, man? Just look at me, Lord, how wonderful I look. Whenever I comb my hair, I think, woo. Where's Elvis Presley? Nowhere, man. He's gone. But, you know, we are very egoistic people. Sometimes we are so egoistic that we become selfish. Another one can be crying, but we turn a ear. The church that is able to sacrifice will see the greatest blessings overflow their lives. If Jesus sacrificed, who are you and I to be exempt? Do you have an exemption paper from him? No need to sacrifice? No. Sacrifice. Obedience. Amen? God loves us. And sometimes don't give our... You know, you don't give your kids everything they want because then you don't teach them. Sometimes you hold back. That doesn't mean you don't love them. You want to teach them. That doesn't mean you don't care. You care, but you want them to really appreciate what you care. So that's why sometimes that sacrifice kicks in. God takes it away from us. Love me. Love me for who I am, not for what I can give you, friend. I'm not Santa Claus, you know? I'm your God, the Creator, who loves you. The abundance of my gifts is not intangible thing, but it's the gift of love. We sang Amazing Love. Just aware of the worship leader. That was such a worship time. Beautiful. The amazing love of God. Obedience requires sacrifice. Sometimes God doesn't make it easy for us. I tell you that. Because easy life is the most slippery road to death. Slippery. Right? When you get so easy, you get so comfortable, you're no longer aware and alert, and you go into trouble. Next one. Scripture says, this is a scripture I want to take. Huh? Before I go to, I want you just to put this thought. Delayed obedience is also disobedient. The Lord tell you today, he said tomorrow lah. No, he said today. Not tomorrow, Lord. And then when tomorrow you do it, it's an act of disobedience already. It's just like when you tell your kid to do, you want him, do now. Mommy, I'll do it next week. No, now. But I'll do it next week. No, but now. Next week I don't need. Next week we need other things. So delayed obedience is disobedience. Remember Samuel? The Lord asked him to do this, he's going to do that. Delayed obedience. Sit down and think, what things that God have told you to do and you have KIV. You know what is KIV? Olden days, when you work in the civil service, they call KIV, kept in view. Put in the tray, never viewed forever. Those days in Singapore, I work in the civil service, everything KIV. KIV means never see again. Huh? Kept in view. Eh? So this delayed obedience is disobedience. Don't substitute good intentions for obedience. Your intention may be good, but the act of obedience is better than the good intention. Right? I want to do good, but you didn't do. But I want to do. But when are you going to do? When I'm okay. When will you be okay? I don't know. So you will never do then. Eh? Isn't it true? You'll never do what? You never do, friend. It's very frightening, you know, that we so lightly we take things from God. But when we are in trouble, we knock on heaven's door, we kick the door, we bang the door, Lord, now. You know, I tell you, I actually really repented. One day I had a church member. She was a pain in my anatomy. Just a pain. I don't know where, but she was just a pain in my anatomy. Every time she would come and tell me this, do that. Huh? Pastor Bishop, pray now. Come down. Sit down now. Pray for my family. Like I am her servant, you know. Pray. After a while, I got to a point and said, hey, enough. Like my anatomy is overworked already. I need a break. Then one day, I needed a thing and I asked her, she said, Pastor Vizio, I got no time for all these small matters. Huh? And I looked, I said, I just asked you a favor for my wife, something. And he said, I got no time for these small favors. From that day, I tightened up my anatomy already. Then I found out, Some people just use you. And maybe moments of our life, we use God that way. We use Him that way. We bang the door. We scold Him. We cry out, do now. If you are God, do now. When He asked you, these are small matters, don't worry. I can do it later. You know, there are some people who are born just to, they're professional people in church who heard your anatomy. Just professional. I don't know for what reason they find good. I see her sometimes, I assume. When I see her sometimes, I go the other side. Because I know my anatomy works up already. I look, I go, serious. Until he came to a point, I have to avoid her. Siam lah, see coming on Siam, that's a controller, quickly hide. You know, I hope and pray the Lord doesn't Siam when He see you coming. Huh? Amen? He will see you coming and He will reach out with open arms and say, come, come, come my child, I love you, come, come, I'll do for you. Obedience, amen? I'm just being honest. Huh? I'm also human. Sometimes I just can't take anymore. Huh? Cannot means cannot already. Huh? Don't know where to hide also. Huh? Hide in the toilet, so they're calling you. Pastor, what are you doing in the toilet? Yes, please. Thanks, Zen. I'm recovering from influenza A. Huh? I'm down with influenza A. Number five, this scripture, Philippians 2, 8, it says, He humbled Himself, who Jesus humbled Himself by becoming obedient till death. Listen to that, till death. Even death on the cross. Look at the maxim of His obedient death. There's nothing more than death. His maximum level of obedience was death. What is your maximum level of obedience to Him? He gave it all. He gave it all, friend. All. Died. As an act of obedience, you know, friend. Not for a crime He did, but for a crime you did. Not for a debt He owed, but a debt you owed. He loved you. His obedience was driven by His love for you. Is your obedience, God, driven by that love? I love you, Lord. I love you. You know, I'm the chairperson of my constituency, 45,000 neighborhood. I'm the chairperson. For many years, I've been the chairperson in the CC here. I'm not a politician, but I like to talk to people. So by being the chair, I can talk to everybody in my constituency. Who can stop me? And I am the third person. I pray every meeting. It's not a church, but I will pray. You don't like to pray, you close your eyes, sit down. Don't argue with me. I always say, don't argue. I'm not forcing, but don't argue. And one time I was doing that, and one new counselor came in. He told me, bro, listen, I don't pray. I said, it's okay. I didn't ask you. Then he said, why did you ask to pray? I said, I asked to pray. But I didn't ask you, yours truly, to pray. I said, let's pray. Do you understand English, Azim? He said, yes, I do. Then listen, I said, we will pray. So we pray. You don't pray fool me. I'm actually very authoritative. Huh? After we prayed, then he came to me and said, I want to take you to court. For what? Because you forced me to pray. I said, who forced you? 11 of us, who forced you? He said, but you said so loud. I said, I'm a loud man. I don't talk. I just can't relate with friends. No, talk loud. He said, but this is not a church. I said, I didn't say it's a church. But I'm a Christian. And he don't know what. No, every time he went one way, he said, where are you from? I said, that's not your matter. And I kept praying. And all the counselors were not, became supportive. Mr. Miso, we support you, go. Because you know why? They only supported me not because I'm violent, but because I was obedient. because I was obedient to my God. I'm a Christian and I obey God. I hold an office that is big and I want to pray. And I never force anyone. And I found out that a lot of Christians buckle under this and give in. But some of them were Christians and then they told me, oh, Pastor, thank you for doing that. I said, don't thank me. Kick your butt and wake up, I said. Because you're a Christian, why are you afraid? Obedience takes me above fear, friend. I obey God, what? I didn't do wrong. I just like to pray. And I said, that's why the Christian, we are crumpling. Suddenly, we are becoming so quiet, so gentle. We're becoming all the goodness that we think when we are doing something bad against God. We think we are doing good. Oh, be peaceful. Love the leadership. Don't quarrel with people. Hey, hello. That's a call of the devil. Please get up. Wake up. You're sleeping. Stand up. Be bold. Be courageous. That's what Paul told Timothy. Be bold. Be courageous. Stand up, Timothy. Stand for what you believe. I go any meeting. I sit it. Whatever, Rotary Club. I will pray. I don't care. Hey, then they ask me, hey, bro, since when we pray? I said, since now. Until Rotary Club was so good to me, they said, raise funds for the work that I do on the street. Not even a church raised for me. Rotary Club said, we'll raise for you that you can do your work on the street. Because they saw in me. I'm not only a Christian by name. I don't wear a chain to say I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. No. I'm a Christian by evidence of life. Come on, we got to have that boldness. You don't fight. We pray. I won't fight with you. How can I fight with you for prayer? But we pray. But would you stand? All you ask is, would you stand? Jesus was willing to stand till death. Would you stand for a little bit of embarrassment? Ayah malu. Was so shy one, huh? I so shy. If I pray, nobody pray. Was siam lah. No, no. Would you pray? I would pray. I don't care. Everywhere I go, even when I sit in a, I would pray, friend. I'm not a boastful Christian. You can say what you want. I am a proud Christian of my heritage, Jesus Christ. I'm not boastful. What to boast in prayer? Nothing to boast. But I am a proud Christian, obedient. How else can I make the name of God known if I stay silent? If I hide, and if I light my lamp and put under the chair and say, why so dark, huh? Think about it, church. I'm not here to say obedience is costly. It will cost something. It will cost you something. It's very costly. I told you the day I became a Christian, my mother cursed me, hated me. Costly. It cost Jesus' death to love us. It cost Jesus the cross to be obedient to the call of the Father. There was a cost. Some of you may lose your job for standing up. There's a cost. You know, my wife works at a nurse in Knox Hospital before. Huh? She was a maid. They don't allow nurses to pray. But there's sometimes patients call her. Could you call your husband? Or you to come and pray. I go and pray. I'll go. The most you can kick me out of the hospital. I can come by the back door. You know, friend, the call of obedience has a price tag called a cost. There's a price tag on it. Are you willing to pay the price? Would you pay that price? Jesus paid the highest price. The bidding was so high. The devil's bidding was so high on the auction market. And he wanted blood. And Jesus said, take my blood. I'll die for them. Obedience has a cost, brother. It costs us something. It may not cost you your life. It may not cost you everything, but it will cost you something. Are you willing? Are you willing? You know, I tell you, I'm a funny, unique character. Sometimes I myself look at it and say, Lord, where did you get this mixture from? Huh? But when my wife was sick and she couldn't go out anymore, cancer, I have to go and do marketing. The worst thing in my life is marketing. I can look at the veggie and I don't know what it is. And she gave me a list to buy. And I don't know what to buy. And I went to the shop and I stood there. And unknown to me, the angel of the Lord, God put an angel there. This lady saw me standing and she came, sir, what's your problem? I said, let me tell you slowly. I said, my wife gave me a list, but I don't know what to buy. She said, but this is there. I said, I don't. Okay, never mind. She said, you stand here. I go and buy for you all the things. Serious. And then she said, go back and give to your wife this. And I went home. And I thought, why would you? A woman sitting there, I'm standing here like a goblock. She came. And from that day to today, she became a good friend to ours. And she talked to us and she know my wife had cancer. That lady made a stand. What would people think of her? Came and said, and took my basket and do the whole shopping for me. And then she said, you're going to pay now. I thought she wanted to pay, but she said, no. But, you know, friend, sometimes little acts is an act of sacrifice, you know. It costs her something, but it also costs me something. I learned something good, the joy of the Lord. When was the last time you were willing to pay a price for God? Somebody said, in order to receive the P-R-I-Z-E, you must first pay the P-R-I-C-E. No C, no Z. Think about it. You will never get the Z if you don't pay the C. True or not? Would you pay the price? Would you pay that price to get the reward? It costs something. It costs something. Don't measure obedience by convenience. Convenience is not in God's vocab. God's vocab don't have convenience. We have made life so convenient. And so much so that we don't like to be inconvenient anymore. Huh? Make sure everything goes smooth. The road to hell is a smooth and slippery one. The road to heaven is a hard one and narrow. Sacrifice. Think about that price and price, huh? You want to be a good swimmer? You practice hard. You want to win an Olympic? You go. You practice. No practice cannot win. How much more in the life, the Christian life? The price. Jesus paid the ultimate price. We receive the P-R-I-Z, what? We receive the redemption of sin, the forgiveness of sin. We receive eternal glory, all because he paid the C for the Z. One day I spoke this message at a Christian lawyers gathering. And we had a lot of people who responded to the gospel. And everybody saw profit in the sea. The sea means profit, make money. They never saw the rewards in the Z. They saw it only in the sea. And I brought to their attention, greater than the sea is the Z. Obedience. Lastly, I'm on time, Pastor Kenny. Am I okay? I don't like to take time too much. Otherwise, you said don't call him next time. I talk too much. No.
Always welcome.
God is good. Okay, the next one is in Ezekiel 36:27. I will pour my spirit on you and move you to follow my decrees. I will pour. You know what he's saying? I will pour. I will empower you because of your heart of obedience. You know, you cannot make it in life. We need God's power. Can we just come to that understanding? None of us. I don't care whether you're a Bible school scholar, you got a collar, dog collar or scholar, I don't care. you will never make it until the Holy Spirit comes into your life. He is the power of empowerment. He is the powerhouse of empowerment. He gives you that power to go through life. And that can only come if you walk in obedience to Him. You got to walk in obedience. He says, you are not expected to obey in your strength. Cannot. My strength is limited. Huh? I get easily offended. I'm easily offended. Some of us are very sensitive of some issues. Huh? Some of us get worked up because of racial slurs. We get worked up. Every little thing can work us up today. You don't pronounce the proper pronoun, also the pronoun will pronounce you. Huh? If you don't pronounce the pronoun properly, the pronoun will pronounce you in court. And you have to answer. Every little thing can cause a fight. People are picking on one another. But in order to go through that life, we need God's Holy Spirit, friend. God, the Spirit of God, is like a balm, you know, like a balm and oil inside of us to help us right through. Because obedience requires empowerment. Amen? Empower. That's why every morning, just now, Pastor Kenny, I like the last couple of days, every morning before we take 2-3 minutes to pray for one. It's releasing power to one another. You know, let me tell you, church, each one of us has a different level of power. Not by our strength. It's the power of our obedience and faithfulness through the years with God. We have developed a different level. Some of you have never walked that walk. And therefore, your level of power is still a baby. Still at the milk stage, not meat. But if you've walked life, and you have walked, that's why Paul said, the ones who are stronger, empower the weak ones. But you have walked that walk, and encourage. Build one another, friend. Build one another. We need the power. We need the support of one another, church members. That's why, remember I told you in the early day, don't gossip, please. Gossip is a weapon of the enemy. That weapon cuts so deep. Breaks people's hearts, break their homes. Leaves scars for eternity. But build one another. Build. Whatever words you say, build. Even if you want to correct, build first before you correct. Even if you want to discipline, rebuke, build first before you rebuke and discipline. Build. The easiest thing to do is to tear somebody down. The hardest thing is to build somebody up. Isn't that true? Easy to slander someone. We are so cheap with slander, but we hold back on words of encouragement. Words of encouragement. You know, 17 years ago, I met a young girl who lived in Frankston in a multi-million dollar house. Huge Asian family, filthy rich. And I say filthy because their riches was filth. An only daughter. And the daughter got involved in crime in Frankston. 45 charges were hanging on her. 45 from assault, abuse, train robbery, robbing on a train, cheating the bank. 45. And I was in church in Springville. I went to church speaking. After service, the girl approached me and talked to me. She looked a real street thugger. And I talked to her and I got to know her. And then the pastor told me, this girl is in trouble. She needs help. And I asked, where's her father? Her father disowned. He doesn't care about her. He's so filthy rich, he fell in love with his money. Every night he cuddles his money. He's got an intimate relationship with his dollars and cents. And the mother couldn't do anything. And something in my heart told me, go help her. And I asked the pastor, I said, he said, Pastor Mitchell, you're the best person. I said, that's a nice way to handball, huh? You jack me up and you handball me there, huh? Anyway, I went and talked to her. She was so rough and crude. Then she told me something. She said, Pastor Mitchell, I just paid a lawyer $80,000 to defend you, to defend me. I said, let me have a look at the document. She said, I got no document. Then how did you pay the lawyer? I said. She said, I paid him. So I said, follow me tomorrow. I drove to the law firm. And I asked the lawyer, give me the document. He told me, mate, you get out, you take your face off this place. She didn't give me no money. She's a lying SOB or something, he said. And I said, bro, you took 80,000. You cheated her. You see me at court, he said. If you think, no, no, I don't want to fight with you at court. And I told her, you're gone. Your 80,000, gone. Gone in smoke. And I said, Pastor, you know, what do? I'll help you, I said, for 80 cents. For nothing. I took the case and I fought. Day in, day out, I have to go to the city. I drive. I got summoned for parking. I got summoned for, because William Street, where to park? 9 o'clock, got to be at court. You go there, 9 o'clock, the magistrate sitting till 9:30. Come on, got a summon ready. I fought for her. Okay, I tell you, I fought my life for her. Until the lawyer told me one day, he's a Greek lawyer. He said, brother, he said, listen, you don't muck around with us. I'll shoot you from the back. Shoot me? I said, you shoot me? Hey, I said, man, you don't know me. I will walk in front of you and shoot you in front, I said. He goes, son, really? You talk about shooting, I also can shoot one. I never talk about shooting. Why you talk about shooting to me? But anyway, when I went to court, the magistrate, the magistrate stopped the case and called me. Reverend, come here. He said, are you a lawyer? I said, no, sir, but I have law training. But I'm not. He said, then why are you doing it? I said, this girl came to me, I'm a pastor. And I said, I put my heart to help her. And you know, he sat down and he talked to me. He said, let's adjourn, go to the room, I want to talk to you. Talk to me, came out of the case in the afternoon after many days. He said, today, I'll sentence this girl 2 years to you and your wife. You care for her. 2 years. The girl came to us. We have a unit downstairs. She would come by. Counsel her, talk to her, just pray with her. 2 years. Sentenced to me. I'm not an institution. But I represent a great institution, the grace of God. 2 years we did with her. She was a very diligent girl. She learned, she did everything. And 2 years was up, we sent her back to wherever she has to go, her life. 10 or 11 years down the road. You remember Caribbean markets? I go to Caribbean markets. Every time I go to Caribbean markets, I line up for the Dutch profiteroles. Ah, the sweet pancakes. Ah, oh, I cannot wait. I see only, I run in there. So I was waiting in that line. Just 3 numbers before there, this lady said, welcome, Reverend Miso. So nice to see you. And I look at her and said, I was that girl. You helped. Today, I'm a mother with a husband with 2 kids. A mother with 2 kids. So happy life. Thank you. The ladies in front of me said, oh, you're the man of the clock. I said, yes. You helped. 11 years had gone. She looks so beautiful now. A mother. Sacrifice. She's so beholden to me. And I don't want, I know I feel very funny when people are beholden. I only did what I was called to do. That lawyer don't want to see me. I still don't want to see him. He's so short, I'm so tall. How to shoot me in the head? He should maybe hit my back. But the way he talked to me like gangster. And then I told him, I said, bro, listen, you don't know where I come from. Do you know what kind of a guy I am? He said, I don't know. I said, keep it that way. Don't threaten people. I'm not easily threatened, I said. I work on the street for 40 years. I've heard a lot of threats. I'm going to cut your neck. I'm going to cut your ears. Cut everything. But I never. Nobody cut my ears yet. But I know, friend, I learned one thing. There was a sacrifice. And I was willing to do it. You know, we may not all do this. God has called you for. Have you got that? You know, you ask me, how come you got testimony? How come I put my life, you didn't put yours? Did you put your life into the bag that God could draw out and say, you do this one? No, I don't want. But Pastor Miso got testimony. How come I don't have a testimony? 11 years when I met that lady, I almost cried at the market. She looked so different. And she still recognized us, even though I lost recognition. But the heart that received the blessing will never forget the look of that face. Never forget the face of Jesus, friend. He did for you. Sacrifice. Obedience. Just to be a mother of two kids. Someday she'll tell her two kids that story. She told her husband that story. She told her church that story. Because of one act of sacrifice. Church, let me tell you, you sit here dormant. You sit here not realizing that there within you lies such power. Such power that is going to change, bring miracles, change lives, bring transformation to communities, individuals, and people. You sit here with that power and you don't move. You don't move. You don't move. And someday that power is taken away from you. Someday it will be taken. You know, when I had a heart attack and a stroke, the doctor told me, please don't go back on the street. Be careful. But I said, it's in my DNA. How to change your DNA? Go back to alphabet school? Cannot. It's in my DNA to help people go out and talk in the street. Maybe I cut down the volume of it, but it's in my DNA, church. I would drive miles to go and see and talk. It's my DNA. What I want to ask you this question before. What is in your DNA today? What is in your Christian DNA? Do you have Jesus' DNA in you? If you have, then something's wrong with you, not with Him. Why are you not up? Why are you not moving? Why are you not going? Why are you not doing? Why are you just listening good testimonies? James says, don't be hearers. Go do something, bro. Sister, do something. The little thing you do, to you is little, to the other person is a world of things for them. So much so, after the case, the church, everybody calling me, I say, hey, brother, listen, I'm not a lawyer, I'm a pastor. I don't do things because you ask. I do things because the assignment came on my desk from heaven. That landed on my desk for me. I did that. I don't go around looking. I don't want people to call me. I said, no, I'm not. I don't. But when that assignment landed on my desk, I said, here I am. Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me. The assignment is mine. I'll take it. How many of you rejected the assignments of God? How many of you knocked back the assignments? Handball to Kenny, Pastor Kenny. Maybe give it to Daniel. He's a good teacher. Send him to the field, man. No, maybe we. I don't know who you knock back to. I am not a knockback specialist. I don't know how to knock back. I'll knock on. Knock on. Amen? Sacrifice. And I know this church will grow because I see some, you know, I look at the young kids this morning, wake up, and I say, young people don't wake up early on Saturdays. Come on, man. It's not young people. Old people only wake up early. True or not? Let's be honest, huh? I can't sleep late. I wake up early. Yeah, I said, I came out, I said, these guys are out talking already. They're more alert than I. Maybe the sacrifice is they enjoy the fellowship. They enjoy the bonding. Even in that, it's a sacrifice to wake up early and meet up with their colleagues, their friends, and enjoy and share and build. Let's be as elders and seniors, be exemplary in that field of obedience. Let us be exemplary in what we teach them. Be an example that they can look up to. Amen? I love you guys. I'm not scolding you, huh? Please don't get me. I love you. I'm a person. I'm very intense with what I do. Just know me. I'm an intense guy. Even my wife says sometimes you're ADHD or what, huh? I'm very intense. Because I'm a sold out guy. I do what I'm sold out to. I won't do anything I'm half sold out. I do 100% sold out. Lastly, the last one I want to. This is a bonus I want to give you. Eh? I always got bonus standby. When you're good, I give you a bonus. You guys have been awesome. And this one, this is the last point I want to throw in for you. Obedience. Listen, friend. Go down to John 14:21. It says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Right? And I will show myself to him. Obedience invites intimacy of Christ into your life. Obedience opens the door of intimacy. He comes into your life. Intimacy. Deeper revelations. Deeper relationship. Deeper in him. You know, sometimes I get frustrated. You know, I handled a case in Singapore. A kid, 20 something years old, he jumped from 25 floors, point block, into a drain. When he hit the drain, his brains was on the fourth floor, splattered. He's stuck in the drain. So I went there with the police. They scraped the body out of the drain. But then I saw in his body, I saw a piece of paper in his hand. But I wanted to take it, and they said, no, don't tamper with evidence. And I know I'm a cop from it. And they took him, went to the court. The inquiry came up. I talked to the mother. The mother was crying. Why he do that? He loved me so much. I love him. He loved me. I love him. I said, you're talking nonsense. I said, do you really know your kid? Yes. But the paper in his hand revealed that his parents didn't understand him. They actually never cared. They said words that cut him. They ignored him in front of the friends. They had a different picture of him and never had the real picture of him. And he wrote there, he said, listen, in that paper he wrote, he said, anything, speak to Reverend Peter Miso. Because I used to be his counselor. And I had to go to court. And I told the mother, little did you know, this boy was crying out for help. Crying out for help. You never had an intimate relationship with your son. Though you think you had. Though you tell the world you had. Kids, church, number one, what is your level of intimacy with God? Number two, what is your level of intimacy with the leadership in church? What is the level of intimacy? You know, there are different levels with your family. Don't assume. Get down on the ground. God wants intimacy with us. To see that man smash his head, smash into a drain. Splattered all over. Because you know why? Nobody understood him. Nobody really loved him. Sometimes people sit in church, and you think they're okay, and they're crying out for love. Sometimes someone sits in church and cry out for a friend. Nobody talks to them. Sometimes they call out, just crying out for somebody to recognize and notice them. And we sit in a church, we sing, we shout, we clap, we dance, we do all the rigmaroles, and we never had a relationship with someone. One day when I was pastoring, my center kid told me, you know, he said, Daddy, you don't love us. I said, no, Daddy, love you. I love you. I'm a loving dad, man. He said, two occasions in my school years, you never turned up. You turned up to church. He said, you love church more than me. It broke my heart. I can say all the sorries I want till angels come down. But the damage done has scarred him. And I swam that day, I told my wife, no, I'm going to put church. I put church, actually I was such a zealous person, I put church as my heartbeat. Church is church. Your kid is your kid, your family. And I thought, intimacy is priceless. Money can't buy. But it's so needed. It's so needed. It's so fragile. Fragile. God wants intimacy. No point of going to Bible school and get all the degrees. No point singing and knowing the Bible. No point. But do you have an intimate relationship? That you can call on God and He listens to you. Then you can sit down with Him and have eyeball to eyeball conversation. Lord, I'm crying inside. I'm hurting. I'm desperate, Lord. I'm sick, I'm hurting, Lord. Intimacy. Obedience opens the door for it. Huh? Obedience will open the door for intimacy. And it's the most precious moment of time with God. It's an intimate moment. Priceless. Cannot be transferable. Just yours. Treasured. Treasured and cherished. That moment. Intimacy. Thank you for this morning, church. Thank you for listening to all my stories and laughing at me. And I'm a humorous guy, please. Huh? I laugh at people. People laugh at me. I laugh at life. But in the end of the day, I love the Lord with all that I have. The existence is because of God. I had a heart stroke and I'm still here. Maybe heaven is not ready for me. They got to get all the trainers ready before I come. But you know, I enjoy the journey. Every heartache makes me a better person. Every stumbling block strengthens my faith in God. And every good moment I cherish because it's the fuel that burns in me. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for yet another session, Lord. Every session is a learning session. Every session, Lord, is drawing us closer to you, Lord. Every session uplifts us to walk that walk, to run that run, and to stay that course because we love you. Bless this camp, Lord. Bless Pastor Kenny, Pastor Daniels, the leadership, the deacon. Lord, just bless them. Show them, Lord. Show them more than just a growing church. Show them a growing relationship, Lord. Amen. Lord, that this church won't grow big because of numbers. It grows big because of the relationship, Lord. Because you are a God that hungers for relationship. You're a God that desires intimacy. You're a God that wants to walk with us, Lord. Bless us for this time. May we have a wonderful time even as we come back tonight and tomorrow. And I want us to know, Lord, just register in our heart that this is not wasted time during this camp. This is quality time recorded in the annals of your books, oh Lord, of moments spent with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come, Pastor Kenny.